The struggle for freedom for Black Panther Party prisoner Geronimo G. Jaga Pratt wins victory.
But Mumia Abu-Jamal gets another defeat in Pennsylvania courts.
Welcome to Under Lock and Key, news and commentary about prisons from the Revolutionary Anti-Imperialist League. The U.S. incarcerates a greater percentage of its population than any other country, sending more blacks to prison than college. The purpose of this program is to educate about and inspire activism against the American lockdown.
Geronimo G. Jaga Pratt won a big victory on February 17 with the announcement by Los Angeles District Attorney Gil Garcetti that he will not be retrying Geronimo. Geronimo was framed and convicted in the early 1970s for a murder he did not commit. He spent 27 years in prison before the Orange County Superior Court overturned his conviction in May 1997. The next month, he was let go on $25,000 bail. District Attorney Garcetti was aggressively pursuing a retrial, so this announcement is a major victory. Of course, Garcetti still won't admit that Geronimo is innocent of the charges. Over the decades, mountains of evidence were presented of Geronimo's innocence. In the end, however, the final straw was when the court had to admit that a key witness against Geronimo lied about being a police informant, thereby forcing a new trial. The real credit goes to all the revolutionary nationalists in the streets who have built a strong movement for Geronimo's freedom. Several years ago, fellow incarcerated former Black Panther Mumia Abu-Jamal recorded a commentary about Geronimo's case. We'll present this commentary shortly.
I am Justice Bruce Wright, a retired state Supreme Court justice here in New York. And all too often, law has little or nothing to do with justice. And law and order is the cry heard throughout America today. Politicians win elections by standing in the jailhouse door in their commercials, promising that that is where they will excommunicate all criminals. The more the politicians threaten to stop crime and imprison criminals, the more crime we have. Listen to Mumia Abu-Jamal.
My name is Mumia Abu-Jamal. I'm a journalist, a husband, a father, a grandfather, and an African-American. I live in the fastest-growing public housing tract in America. In 1981, I was a reporter for WUHY and president of the Philadelphia Association of Black Journalists. Currently, I'm a writer and a public radio commentator. I've been a resident on Pennsylvania's death row for 11 years. Tune in to hear my regular reports from death row. This is Mumia Abu-Jamal on your public radio station. That justice is a blind goddess is a thing to which we blacks are wise. Her bandage hides two festering sores that once, perhaps, were eyes. A poem called Justice by Langston Hughes. Elmer Geronimo Pratt sits sweltering in a Northern California prison, no doubt angry over his latest judicial mugging by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which refused to reconsider Pratt's appeal solely because it was filed a few days too late. Pratt, a former high-ranking Black Panther leader, has endured almost 20 long years in prison for a crime which even an ex-FBI agent insists he did not and indeed could not have done. Why is Geronimo still caged? Because in his youth, nearly two decades ago, he dared stand up against the white racist power structure and attempted to lend a hand to militant efforts to defend black communities from racist cop terror. As party deputy minister of defense, Geronimo did his job only too well, as evidenced by the fiery, genocidal police raid on the Los Angeles chapter headquarters of the Black Panther Party in 1970, an onslaught that left much of Central Avenue in smoldering ruin, but from which every L.A. Panther emerged alive. Geronimo's true crime, then, was and is resistance. A crime for which Africans have historically paid the supreme penalty, and for which Pratt has paid with almost 20 years in California dungeons. In a word, the reason why Geronimo is still caged can be summed up with a sinister acronym, COINTELPRO, FBI speak for the shadowy, malicious counterintelligence program which shadowed, harassed, silenced, and set up black activists from the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. to Geronimo. COINTELPRO files show Geronimo could not have committed the December 18, 1968 murder of Mrs. Kenneth Olson in L.A. for the simple reason he was under FBI surveillance some 400 miles away in Northern California on the date and time of the crime. California Congressman Ron Dellums has introduced a resolution in the U.S. House calling for Geronimo's immediate release and an investigation into the circumstances surrounding his arrest and conviction. The resolution noted in part, Federal Bureau of Investigation wrongdoing in the case of Elmer Geronimo Pratt has been established through exhaustive examinations of thousands of pages of official FBI documents obtained under the Freedom of Information Act and subsequently corroborated by the sworn testimony of a retired FBI special agent who has personal knowledge of the wrongdoing. The three-judge panel of the Ninth Circuit, composed incidentally of Nixon and Reagan appointees, closed the courthouse door on Pratt's appeal, citing the attorney's failure to file Pratt's papers promptly. In a move that black Supreme Court jurist the late Thurgood Marshall might call exalting form over substance, the Ninth Circuit panel has apparently decided that innocence is irrelevant. Just as surely as the U.S. Supreme Court careens rightward, so too do other federal courts like the Ninth Circuit fast in lockstep, that a kind, decent, committed man's life sifts away like sands through an hourglass is of no judicial concern. Raised in the Bayou Country, Morgan County, Louisiana, and tempered in the steaming jungles of Vietnam, in youthful service to this government, one wonders on the irony of protecting the polluted status quo that now denies him his rightful day in court. It was a youthful, idealistic Pratt who emerged from the hells of Nam, only to behold the hells of Compton, California. That he chose to serve his people as a member of the Black Panther Party is a fact of which he can justly be proud. That he is denied the most fundamental rights to be free of government prosecution without deception, to be heard by an impartial judge based solely upon his BPP membership, is a fact of which Americans should be ashamed. Even 3,000 miles away, I hear his soft yet strong country voice saying, come together, fight together, and rally together to see justice done. Free Geronimo now. From death row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. For more information about my case, racism, and the death penalty, and what you can do, contact Equal Justice USA at 301-699-0042.
On February 17th, the struggle to keep Geronimo Gijaga Pratt out of prison won its final battle. The commentary we just played can also serve as a general introduction to the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal. Mumia has spent 18 years on death row in Pennsylvania for a crime he did not commit. Like Geronimo, Mumia was targeted for persecution and prosecution by the police because of his revolutionary black nationalist politics. Speaking of political repression, the Mumia commentaries never aired on National Public Radio because the network backed down in the face of the Fraternal Order of Police.
Mumia is an outspoken advocate and leader of the black nation. He was Minister of Information for the Black Panther Party and later a radio journalist. Mumia was hated by the Philly police and government for his work exposing police brutality. Years ago, the mayor of Philadelphia singled Mumia out at a press conference for this ominous warning.
Someday you'll pay for what you've done.
What Mumia Abu-Jamal did do was raise the consciousness of the black nation about their colonization by white America. For this, Mumia and his case is demonized in the press, including by the recent 2020 documentary.
This is Cornel West. Will we ever listen to and learn from our bloodstained prophet? After over 15 years of nightmarish jail conditions, Mumia Abu-Jamal's soul is not only intact but still flourishing, just as the nation's soul withers. As one who has lived on the night side of this dream, unjustly imprisoned for a crime he did not commit, Mumia Abu-Jamal speaks to us of the institutional injustice and spiritual impoverishment that permeates our culture. He reminds us of things most fellow citizens would rather deny, ignore, or evade.
In a January 23rd speech, Mumia's chief lawyer, Leonard Weinglass, laid out the legal side of the struggle, including new evidence uncovered by the defense investigation. The new evidence must be aired.
Many opponents of the American death penalty are familiar with the Baldus study, which shows that blacks are more likely to be executed if their victim was white. Baldus has recently conducted a study of Philadelphia district attorneys, showing that blacks are 5.2 times more likely than whites to be thrown off juries. In Mumia's case, 11 black jurors were removed, thereby denying Mumia a true jury of his peers.
Internationally renowned ballistics expert Peter DeForest reports evidence that the bullet that killed the officer may have been switched. A former Philly police officer has told the defense that bullet switching was common.
The pig's defense to charges of politically persecuting Mamiya is to argue that the officers at the scene didn't know him, so they couldn't have been biased. This has been proven false. It's already known that the highest-ranking officer at the scene knew Mamiya. The defense can now prove that the officer who found Mamiya's gun at the scene also knew Mamiya. The police admit to having huge files on Mamiya Abu-Jamal, but refuse to turn them over. This new evidence could force the courts to require the police to share these records with the defense.
Attorney Weinglass also reported evidence on the police suppression of another suspect who was later found to be in possession of a weapon capable of firing a copper-jacketed bullet. Neither Mamiya's gun nor the officers were capable of firing such a bullet, but one was found at the scene. The illegal police suppression of this evidence should be grounds for a new trial. Rayla is not arguing for the prosecution of this other individual, or whoever actually did kill the cop. When the killing happened, the cop was engaged in an act of police brutality against Mamiya's brother. Somebody stopped this illegal violence with another violence designed to stop it. That's a far cry from murder.
I am Sister Helen Prejean. I wrote the book Dead Man Walking. For me, Mamiya is a dramatic example of how the criminal justice system can be brought to bear on someone who is African American, articulate, involved in change in society. The system's threatened by someone like Mamiya because he resists the racism and because he had such a voice. A voice as strong as his and as truthful, the repression against him is intensified.
Weinglass reported in January that the legal team would be filing an appeal before the Supreme Court, specifically to deal with the issues of Mamiya's physical exclusion from the initial trial and the judge's denial of Mamiya's right to represent himself. Attorney Weinglass doesn't expect the Supreme Court to side with Mamiya on this question, but he expects a decision by April 1999. This negative ruling will likely trigger a death warrant signed by the Pennsylvania Governor Thomas Ridge. This would not give the defense much time to bring an appeal of the October 1998 Pennsylvania Supreme Court ruling to Federal District Court. That court could rule by the summer or fall of 1999.
Making matters much more difficult for Mamiya and justice is the 1996 Anti-Terrorism and Effective Death Penalty Act. This law restricts the federal courts from examining the findings of fact made by the state courts. Unfortunately for Mamiya, the findings of fact and other state court actions are precisely the issue. The judge at Mamiya's original trial and his appeals was Albert Sabo. Known as the Hanging Judge, Sabo has earned the label Judge Beyond Reason from American Lawyer magazine, and his bias at Mamiya's trial was severe enough to merit criticism from the prosecution. Since Sabo declared himself unbiased during the initial appeals, the federal courts are restricted to maintaining that assumption.
Rail urges listeners to learn about Mamiya Abu-Jamal's case and to take action to stop this murderous execution. With the Effective Death Penalty Act and the transition into a much quicker federal court system, Mamiya's case has an exceptional urgency. We agree with Attorney Weinglass that the real power to free Mamiya exists not in the courtroom, but in our ability to build a movement in the streets. We also urge our listeners to see this case as a symbol of the repressive injustice system, which itself is a tool for imperialist oppression in the USA and all over the world.
This has been Under Lock and Key, a weekly Revolutionary Anti-Imperialist League program about prisons. For more information, contact RAIL, P.O. Box 712, Amherst, Massachusetts, 01004, or email railradio@mim.org.